meditations of my heart, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
St. Paul is one of the most complex and compelling figures in the New Testament. At times, he's really a bit cranky and a bit of a misogynist. But then he surprises us with his eloquence, vision, and gentleness. Now, Paul wrote the letter we heard this morning from a Roman prison, possibly facing execution. So here he is amidst the cold squalor of a prison cell, knowing that this might well be his last letter to the Philippians. So this letter must be passionate, informative, inspiring. He needed to capture an essence of Christ. And so he writes of love and joy. Love and joy are central to a Christ-filled and directed life, shaping every aspect of our lives. Paul knew if the Philippians absorbed that message, everything else would fall into place. In 1963, another man sat in a dank prison, facing an uncertain and dangerous future. On scraps of newspaper, Dr. Martin Luther King wrote what came to be known as the Letter from the Birmingham Prison. In time, this remarkable letter would become the credo of the civil rights movement. Yet this profound and comprehensive letter was actually written to moderate white religious leaders in Birmingham, Alabama, in pointed but always respectful language. Dr. King challenged these spiritual leaders to be true to the gospel of Jesus. Quoting towering theologians from St. Paul to St. Augustine to Paul Tillich, the Reverend King forcefully wrote of the moral issues facing these priests and ministers of Birmingham. He wrote of their responsibility to lead the fight against hatred and injustice from the pulpits, the streets, and the civil and the offices of the civil and business leaders. And then we come to today. We are also called to respond to a disturbing climate of fear, racism, and hatred. A compassionate and honest state of mind shaped by the teachings of Jesus, informed by such prophets as Paul and Martin Luther King, begins with our relationship with Jesus, our own self-awareness, and our interactions with others. Joan Chittister, a Benedictine religious and prolific spiritual author, affirms the power of small groups to produce change. It reminds me of that expression, think globally, act locally. Now, realistically, none of us sitting here this morning can affect the national and global climate of hate, fear, and ignorance. However, we can be like that first century community in Antioch, of whom it was said, "See how these Christians love one another." How we conduct our lives, what we say and do, with whom we share our lives, the values we teach our children, are examples to others. It has been said it is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Each of us can be a lighted candle to illuminate the darkness we see around us. Now this morning, I would like to take a preacher's privilege and end on a personal note. When I was in seminary, our homiletics, or preaching instructor, was a former opera singer. One Sunday, Kate began her sermon from the back of the church. She marched down the center aisle, carrying a suitcase and singing, "Going to Take a Sentimental Journey." Well, I am about to take a sentimental journey of sorts. I certainly leave St. Mary's with a very heavy heart, but also with a large measure of joy, much gratitude, and a great deal of love. A while ago, I preached about miracles. My last parish experience in California was disappointing and hurtful, and it diminished my love and enthusiasm for ministry. St. Mary's has been a place of healing. You helped me rediscover the joy, gratitude, and sheer happiness of diaconal ministry. Because St. Mary's is a community of love and joy. It is a place where the gospel is both preached and practiced. Though there have been periods of exuberance, celebration, and high expectation, there's also been sadness, loss, confusion, anger, and disappointment. But throughout, as a community of faith, you never lost your focus on the important things. Creative and active compassion for each other and the wider community. Enthusiastic nurturing of children and teens. A desire for growth and learning. An openness to new ideas while respecting traditions. And there is so much that I will miss. The exuberant chaos of the Greens Committee. The Holly Fair and the Rummage Sale. A dedicated, unfailingly kind, and at times irreverent office staff. There is the skillful and creative altar and flower guilds. And certainly I will treasure memories of the glorious gardens. The soaring and ambitious choir. Douglas's dry New York humor. The wit, wisdom, passion, and sheer goodness of Bob Anthony. And of course, Libby, friend and mentor, the finest priest and rector with whom I have served. Today, I end one journey and set out on another, filled with gratitude and love. Amen.
Faith. We believe in God above us, maker and sustainer of all life, of sun and moon, of water and earth, of male and female. We believe in God beside us, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, born of a woman, servant of the poor, tortured and nailed to a tree. A man of sorrows, he died forsaken. He descended into the earth to the place of death. On the third day, he rose from the tomb. He ascended into heaven to be everywhere present, and his kingdom will come on earth. We believe in God within us, the Holy Spirit of Pentecostal fire, life-giving breath of the church, spirit of healing and forgiveness, source of resurrection and eternal life. Amen.